Here we are, another Monday episode of the Win Free Hour. Today it is March the 7th, the month where most of the birds will lay their eggs. And 2018.
March? No, it's May.
May. Did I say March?
I thought you did, but that's okay. It could be my ears.
Maybe so, and yesterday I thought it was April. However.
Okay, then March it is.
No, it's May. and who we have on the phone on here is May from Concord.
And then we're just waiting for... I haven't heard from April in a while.
True.
Do you remember April used to come on?
Yeah, I haven't heard from her for a while, correct.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Everybody's welcome.
Of course.
All right, and I haven't seen an email out from Wynn on tonight's show to see what he has in mind of doing. Let me double check. Oh. So what I will do, May, in the meantime, and those who are listening in already through BBS, is play another song.
Okay.
And any request, you want to have a Wynn song, don't you?
Oh, I like Wynn because the words are so profound, and even Mother's Day is coming up, so I always think they're good Mother's Day or Father's Day songs.
Yeah. I think I played a song, but he didn't sing it, but he wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you?
Of course.
All right. Let me find it. It's called Everybody Loves You.
Yes.
When Everybody Loves You. I gotta be close now. I think, but this is the one Vin is singing, I think.
It's all good.
It's all good. Oh, here we go. Nobody does what nobody does. Good evening to those who just came into the phone line. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Laws and greetings, Drive. With love.
Hello, Raiden. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here. And I heard a lady voice.
Hi. It's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Jeannie, good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
So, Raiden.
Yes.
I do know about today's California weather. How is the weather in Sedona?
Oh, you know, it must be like about maybe 81 or something. Just a nice evening.
All right. Yeah, I did. All right. Good evening to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your location.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
And this is Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening to you, Dane. Jane, welcome.
Thank you.
And another person joining in, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, this is Joe here. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Joe. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. And I welcome those people that are listening in online through BBS. Thank you for being here.
I wonder if Wen remembers.
I'm just going to grab my phone to send him a text. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Roger in Austin, Texas.
Roger, welcome.
Thank you.
And the next person that joined in, welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Terry Brown, good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi. Hello.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Is Wynn alive and kicking?
Yeah, he's going to call me in a minute.
Great. And the next person that joined in, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Craig in Portland.
Hi, Craig. Good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. computer conference call. Please say your name and location.
Good afternoon, Anna Kentwall.
Hello, Anna. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And those that have joined in online, again, I want to say thank you for being here. Good evening. We are waiting for the man of the hour, Mr. Winfrey in Sedona, to call into the show. And I'm glad that you are here, Terry.
Thank you.
It was an amazing channeling again yesterday. It is a lot of work for you, honey.
I know. It's like it takes me about 3 days to recover.
Yeah. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. I love you too much. I can't wait to read your new book. There's going to be a while still before it's going to be published. Any idea yet, Terry?
Well, Wynn had some suggestions. He read part of it and had some suggestions.
Okay.
So I'm putting those in, and that'll be done pretty soon.
All right, all right. Good evening, Don.
Hi, Ice, everybody. Northern Ohio here.
Welcome. Hi. Yeah, Terry, I love listening to your conscious mind when you're talking, like, you know, what you remember from past lifetimes, from different dimensions. It's very fascinating to me. So, yes, your book will be something that I'm really looking forward to, that I can't wait to read.
Oh, great. Some people have said that they thought that my title was too close to another title. But the first two words are the same, but the rest of it is all different. So I was thinking of changing it, but I don't know. Some of the people really rave about the title that I chose, which was Many Mansions of My Soul.
You can't copyright a title, so there's more than one book and thing that has the same title out there. The subtitle always, the subtitle separates them.
Yeah, it's different. Really, yeah.
Maybe you can call it Hang Loose.
Good evening, Wynn.
Now, how do you know it's me? From
I saw you jump out of the helicopter.
Okay. Is Terry on?
Yes,
yeah. Okay, let's just jump into it, okay?
Do you want me to mute the phone lines?
No, but mute the dings, okay?
I will mute the dings and get the recording going. All right, it is the 7th of August.
This conference is being recorded.
This is May 7th, 2018. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere. And I thought I would do a discussion tonight about channeling yesterday. It's good to get those things in, because it's my goal, or what I hope to be true, is that it's not just learning about karma, it's learning things you can apply to your own life that help you accelerate your own path, you know, your own speed, your own evolutionary speed, because karma is one of the things that keeps you positioned into gross repeating cycles. So now I hope somebody will talk up. Don't do it to patronize me, but make me feel that you really got something out of it. Because we spend a lot of time putting this out, and it's gratifying. And I do get emails from people. And I do know that we're creating an environment where people feel supported and connected. And that's a valuable thing. And simultaneously, we are all on our own paths, and we come together from our own individual paths. So I hope sometimes we can tribute something that you can apply to your personal path. And on that note, does anyone have any memory of anything that particularly impacted them on the channeling yesterday?
This is May from Concord. I don't know if I would call this an impact, but I was definitely more confused because when you say live in the now, so you can take care of your karmic past because you live in the now, so you don't get on the karmic. Well, it's like now I want to go out and play, but I'm supposed to be paying the bills. But now I want to go out and play. See what I'm saying? So if you think about paying the bills, then that's the future. Or if you didn't pay the bills in the past, you didn't have electricity. So I get a little confused. But I was listening.
Well, thank you for breaking the ice, May.
You're welcome.
I would say that living in the now does not mean that you're not supposed to pay your bills or be responsible, okay? It has to do with paying your bills in the now, being responsible in the now. It's when you... How many of you have experienced what they call gross repeating cycles, where you keep, for example... You want to have a relationship with someone, then every time you start, you get the same kind of person, and it doesn't work very well. How many of you had that?
Si, senor.
Si, senor?
Yes.
All the time.
Why do people marry their parents? Why do people, that's a pretty common cycle, not just relationships. So.
Yeah. So I'm just giving an example of a gross repeating cycle. And this is not to judge you or make yourself feel bad about yourself. It's obviously you have to keep having that experience until you don't have to have it, in which case... I would guess the relationship will probably change or it will break up, okay? Or it'll be different. It'll be, the nature of the relationship will shift. Anyone else have another example of a gross repeating cycle that they keep going through? See, how can I do it? Go ahead.
People can have that with spending, you know. People can have, societies have gross repeating cycles.
Absolutely. The planet can have it. The planet has growth repeating cycles.
Yeah, that's why. That's what they are.
So
there's a 7-year cycle, an 80-year cycle. So
yeah, but it doesn't have to be a growth repeating cycle. Consciousness changes that. Awareness changes it. But when you're not aware, you just find yourself repeating.
Yep.
I mean, it's one of the reasons. One time, I asked a question to the Elohim. I said, could you guys reduce the radiation from Fukushima? And they said they already are, but they could do more, but they don't, because people are not learning their lesson. And so they let us stew in something until we learn the lesson, okay? So it's like a gross repeating cycle, or a repeating cycle. Even in this life, you can assume you've been doing it in other lifetimes. I'm sure of it. And I mean, I am amazed how similar, you know, it just so happens. I know various people's past lives, including some of my own. And I think this lifetime is a little different. I think it is for me. I think I'm more aware and more fluid, but I can see how the track of past lives still, you know, still in there. And I particularly can see it in other people. I mean, if you go read, how many of you ever read about St. Catherine of Siena? Nobody. You know, this is a rare opportunity because, Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. When you read about St. Catherine of Siena and how she was, and I can see very clearly, Terry, aside from her looking like St. Catherine, and the thing about St. Catherine that sometimes you don't see in Terry, or Terry doesn't exhibit, is tremendous boldness. I mean, Catherine was bossing the Pope around, as I recall, writing letters to all these very high up people, because she had the respect and the power to do it, and she was seeing many things about the church that were corrupt, and she was trying to correct it single-handedly. Now, she's single-handedly trying to correct me. So, but in any case, it's amazing on people that we know, and I knew who they were, even Michael Jackson. You guys have heard the story of Michael Jackson, right?
Right.
I mean, my story of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Ancient Egypt connection.
Yeah. Who said no?
Greg has said no.
Greg?
Craig.
How many? Craig.
Yes, with a C.
Yeah. How many other no's are there? You're the only one, Craig. What am I going to say? Well,
no word.
I don't think I'll repeat it just for you. Okay. But I can just tell you very quickly that early on, Do you know who Akhenaten was?
A little bit.
He was an Egyptian pharaoh, okay? And he outlawed all of the existing religious practices in Egypt. And people were worshiping Amun-Ra and plus a polytheistic pantheon, I think that's the right word. And he outlawed them all and became very unpopular amongst the people, even though the traditional gods were doing sacrifices, they were using religion as a way of controlling people. And eventually, his own army turned on him. His wife was Nefertiti. And historically, Nefertiti and Akhenaten were very, very tight. She was his co-regent. And that was an unusual thing for a pharaoh, to have his wife be kind of like an equal. She would stand next to him in all kinds of public ceremonies. And eventually, she betrayed him to the priesthood because she thought he was too radical in what he was doing. And she wanted to be traditional. And almost certainly, Daphne was Nefertiti. She looks like Nefertiti. She acts like it. She has the aristocracy of royalty. And it was just totally fascinating for me to have that realization early on when this was first starting. And it was kind of explaining why they were talking to me. And the interesting thing is, in the raw material, which I was studying at the time, in the raw material of Carla Rucker, the Ra group said that Akhenaten was one of the few people that they had spoken to in history. And they also said that he agreed to have more future lifetimes because he had a predisposition to power and that he wanted to work out that predisposition. And Michael Jackson was a court entertainer in that lifetime. And I don't want to tell the story. I'll tell it some other day. Everyone heard it. But we talked to Michael Jackson after he died. And then I found this video Michael did 20, 25 years ago called Can You Remember the Time? Did you ever see? Who saw that video?
Yes. I did. I've seen it.
Yeah. Michael was serenading Akhenaten and Nefertiti in that video. So the whole video is like a past life recall. Now, I don't know if that was subconscious. It probably was. He probably was attracted to Egypt, and it's probably attracted to Akhenaten, but he probably didn't know he was a court entertainer, but maybe he did. I don't know. But it was after I came to the conclusion that he was there, and I was trying to validate it, and I found that video. It was just spooky, okay? Because then I was sure it was true, okay? So in any case, that was one of my personal experiences, and I have no recall of being Akhenaten. I mean, in my conscious mind.
Can't do a good job.
Pardon me? San Antonio. I heard somebody say something. Something about a good job.
Good job.
Hello.
Good job.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the ball rolling by talking about myself.
Well, Akhenaten was a pre-Adamite with the, or a hybrid with a big skull.
Yeah. Well, I probably had enough crossbreeding to get my skull size down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't try to find all the details out, you know? It's like I'm not preoccupied with the details. Once I make the connection and I feel how the connection moved through time, then I'm kind of done with it. I don't need to know anymore. I'm not curious about everything Egyptian. But one thing that was kind of interesting is when I was about 10 years old, there was this movie showing on TV called The Egyptian, which I'll bet nobody ever saw. Anybody ever see that movie?
Yes.
You did. I think, who was in it?
Wasn't it Victor Mature and some?
Victor Mature, yeah. Victor Mature was in it. And it was like a spectacle movie. It was like the Ten Commandments. And it was set in the time of Akhenaten. And I was 10 years old. And they kept replaying the movie on TV. And I probably watched it 6 or 7 times. And every time they got to this one scene where everyone was praying in this outdoor temple, okay, I would cry. And I remember crying, and I said, I wonder why I'm crying. And, you know, then the whole thing about Akhenaten came in, and at a certain point I remembered that movie, and it just made sense. But it was like a piece of the puzzle. So, anybody else know a past life of theirs? Besides Terry? And Raiden?
I had a reading once that said that I was like a nun overlooking the garden, the herb garden that I had helped create with a habit and a little face.
Mm-hmm. What is that? Here we go. There we go. That was Anna, right? Was that Anna?
Oh, yes. I didn't understand what you said. Yes.
You were the nun. Were you a Catholic nun?
I presumed it was Catholic, Gail. I also was told that I helped bring water to the people who were building the pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Now, Ra says they built the pyramids by levitation, but they probably had people helping in bodies. Ra said also that it took 100 years to build the pyramids because they didn't want it to all go up at one time, because they didn't want people to witness that kind of miracle. Something like that was in there. But who else wants to share something? Come on.
Well, staying in the now, is paying attention, being aware of what's going on around them, and if somebody has a bunch of bills and they, that would come in, like, okay, they needed to pay them at this time, or they needed to pay them in a week, or it's like, it doesn't mean just not paying your bills or thinking of paying them or anything like that. It's just paying attention to everything going on in the now so you get a bill. And you relegate it for when it should be paid.
I mean, one of the things for me about being in the now is that I pay very close attention to relationships. And I can see the... Let me just say, I think I can usually say, rather than say it absolutely, when a relationship is moving into an old pattern. And I immediately jump into it and stand up and switch the energy instead of letting it play out. And Terry has seen that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's irritating to someone else, but usually in the long run, and even in the short run, the relationship gets better considerably, or else it goes away. But in most cases, it gets better.
Can I say something about being in the now, which is the part that really interests me about the Sunday call, and I'd like to hear more about the sources have to say about it. But to me, being in the now is just being aware of yourself, that you exist. I mean, most different teachings have some version of it. Like there's Gurdjieff, a lot of people are familiar with him. They have a thing called self-remembering, where you just remember yourself. It doesn't really have anything to do with what you're doing or is going on. It's just, to be aware, and then you deal with whatever is happening while trying to remember, be aware of that you exist, even. And Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan, he had stopping the internal dialogue, and there's mindfulness. There's all sorts of different techniques and words for pretty much the same thing, or just, being aware that you exist, which is what I think, being in the now is, personally.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what I think is one of the things that you might run that keeps you from being in the now?
Go ahead.
It's wanting to understand everything.
Right, and the intellect can be a distraction, I agree with you.
Well, ultimately there's a mystery. No matter how much you understand, there's a mystery. There's a mystery to the way it all works. And you can understand a lot, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to understand it.
It's interesting.
But you can let that be on one hand, And on the other hand, accept the mystery. Okay? So it's like thinking that you can solve the mystery with all this knowledge, and you can't. Mm-hmm.
I would say that's also outside of being in the now. I mean, you're being in the now, and you're either not doing anything or you're learning about something, but you either are or aren't in the now, whether no matter what you're doing or not doing. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of a separate thing. You can be, if you're in the now, you can go out and learn whatever you want to learn, or not learn.
I don't mean that there's anything wrong with doing what you're doing, okay? As long as you can not think you can solve the mystery. Now, that's just what came up for me. I might be wrong, okay?
Beyond human comprehension.
Say that again.
Beyond human comprehension.
Behind human comprehension.
Beyond human comprehension. He said. Another thing I remember is the Be Here Now book by Baba Ram Das. It's another right. variation of nowness.
And Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, a lot of different people have a variation or their own terminology for, but it's the same thing, really.
And I think in understanding the now, it's to be able to let go of the past.
Well, there is no past in the now if you're in the now.
Yes,
you can think about the past.
That's
you can think
right.
about the past, but you're not,
Well, that's
there
what
in
I'm
the
saying,
past.
That you to let go of the past and what we did in the past and whatever, and how that's how... That's what must be done to be in the now.
Yeah, I agree that if you're thinking about the past, you're definitely not in the now, that's for sure.
Right.
I agree with that.
But it's the objective to not be in the past and let past behaviors influence the now. You have an opportunity to.
Yeah, well, that's what is interesting to me about the Sunday call, because Terry was channeling that just by being in the now, you can apparently clear out a lot of karma and stuff. So that's what really sounded interesting to me about the whole thing there.
I thought one of the most interesting things was that energies get going and then everything tries to balance those energies. So that if somebody has an energy of something, then the universe tries to make it happen or somehow balance it. That's like an energy that's devoid of something, and then the universe tries to fill it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be another interesting topic to explore.
Yeah.
A musical interlude. Now, Heise isn't making any comments. What am I going to do with him?
I'm getting my dinner ready.
You're getting dinner ready. Are you in the now?
I am. It's a very good topic, and I do catch myself often enough where I realize that I'm not in the now while I am to be, and then also lots of times where I, when I go into the now and just try to avoid thinking and connect to the higher self, and I happen to have a very briefly, but a good experience this morning when I was having my breakfast,
It actually happened after I received my daily email from Neil Donald Walsh. We had something in the topic this day that he said, just, you know, right now, take 90 seconds and connect with your higher self. And which I did, and then...
Do they have a specific technique that he recommends for connecting with...
No specific technique that I recall. I can look at the email what he says, but I just, you know, close my eyes and...
the intention.
And just imagine that you are connecting with your higher self, and I got like a goosebump feeling over my body. And I felt the connection, but it was only seconds, and then mind chatter, you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, shit, I'm not there, you know, wait. And then again, I connected, and I just had the tears rolling over my cheeks after I connected again. And then, but then it's kind of like, you know, it's over. And, however, let me see what Neil was saying. What he suggested was, I believe God wants you to know that your inner life is begging you for some attention. Can you not hear your soul calling you? Please do not ignore this call any longer. Please do not say, yeah, yeah, tonight, or, okay, I get it, starting tomorrow, I will meditate every morning. Stop everything right this minute, if only for 90 seconds, and say hello to your soul. Reconnect, touch in, and listen to what you are trying to tell yourself.
Another thing
What was that from, Hans?
From Neil Donald Walsh. He sent out those daily emails.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay. All right.
Another thing I was thinking of is, like, just the idea of keeping your heart chakra open from the release technique, which is the Sedona method. You learn to be aware of, like, a clutching feeling around your heart or chest, which is probably your heart chakra. And, you learn to release that clutching feeling. So it's something I try to do just while I'm in the day to try to, you know, when you get distracted by what's going on in the day. And so I try to pay attention to that. Look for a clutching feeling and to do a release technique of that when I notice it. It's another thing, a way of staying in the now.
You know, I see the human mind as the average human mind as a computer all with a virus. And it can be so simple lots of times, especially when I'm driving my car lots of time, going down the hill. And then I just, you know, I come to a point where I just connect with I think it's usually the Elohim group or the Ra group. It's just invoking it, just silently within yourself. And then I've seen also significant profits with just getting support with the jobs I'm doing that I sometimes think, how the heck could it come out so right? And it's so close, it's so nearby us. And but again, that you know, you need to get rid of that virus on your computer. You need to find that space where you have access to the normal way of how it should be.
Yeah, it's another thing from the Sunday call. They're talking about the God realm that I thought was very interesting. Sounds like it fits in with what you're saying there.
Mm-hmm. I'm eating now.
You're in and now eating.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who else?
Nourishing the stomach and the soul, huh?
How many of you heard the idea of wanderer for the first time on our calls?
Did you say modular?
Yeah, I did.
Wanderer starseed.
I did.
It was introduced to me by Status Quo.
Although I always felt that I came from somewhere else or something, because I always thought the ideas were pushed on me down here seemed kind of like stupid. And I always had the feeling there's it's got to be a better system, a better where another. I came from somewhere where things were just made more sense, you know. Although I don't have any specific memories of where or anything, but.
Well, what if we're the template for the planet?
Say that again.
Don?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, sorry. What? I didn't catch your what you said there. Some of the template for the planet or something.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Well, what if we are the template, or a template for the planet? What the planet's to become?
Microcosm, macrocosm kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, if all is one, I mean, that would be absolutely true.
Who else? Jane, you can say when, don't call on me. All right. Don't call on Jane. Now, is Prudence here? So I will.
She will be on the whole planet healing to greet, but she doesn't have a computer, and I will be there to moderate.
I see. I suppose everybody else has no growth repeating cycles, right?
Of course. We do.
Well, you know, I think, you know, that multiple people will have those, but it's a question, do you recognize it?
Or it can be over many lifetimes.
And everything is cyclical, so obviously.
Now,
it's only cyclical until you break out of it.
Mm-hmm. Like the Mayan calendar, you know, with it happens that way, cosmic motion or something.
Yeah, I think you can get outside. you can get outside of that, though. I don't think you're totally doomed to be under that influence, though.
You don't think we go through cycles?
Oh, we do, but I'm saying if you escape from it. You know, if you gain so-called, quote, gain enlightenment, I think that you would be outside of all that stuff personally.
Well, I think it's part of the stuff that we are of. Anyways.
It'd be no fun if we weren't learning.
Well, I think that thinking that you understand stuff like that can get in the way of being in the now. I mean, I can speak for myself. It can make you feel superior. Mm. Because I used to really study astrology. And I got really good at it. And I thought, oh, there's all these amazing cycles going on. And no one knows about it. And so I kind of got on somewhat of an ego trip.
I think if you try to be in the now, you won't get an ego trip because you'll realize how hard it is to just be aware of yourself at all the
mm-hmm.
time. Just mostly what you do is just remembering that you haven't been aware, when you haven't been aware of yourself, and you just, you know, pop back into awareness after being out of it for a while.
Another thing I realized when I did astrology charts is that astrology was at a lower level than the highest of realms. And that when you know, as you increase your time, as you increase your timelines, you can look at yourself and you can see things about yourself that you can't see when you're in the middle of the connection with that part of yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes sense, but it's hard to do. Easy to understand, hard to do.
Yeah. Well, I started to do it with astrology and having an experience of it with astrology, which I mentioned before, but I started to look down at astrological cycles instead of just being tossed to and fro by them, you know?
Right. I can definitely see that astrology, or just about anything, even watching Ancient Aliens on TV, can elevate you, you know, from a lower vibrational state. It can improve your vibrational state. So, mm-hmm. I mean, for any given time, whatever state somebody's at, if something raises them up, that's good. And then you look for something else after that. It's always something else to get your state higher. But I can certainly say astrology would certainly have a beneficial effect on waking somebody up or something.
And if we come from the stars, why would we have to make astrology less than something else in our attempt from here to understand the stars?
Well, it's not less than. It's, for most people, it's a way higher hologram than the physical world we live in. But
yeah, I mean, was just referencing
physical
what
world
you were
is,
saying
is
the, about it being a lower study or something.
Yeah.
Whatever you meant.
Well, it's lower than the highest realms, but it's higher than the average Earth plane, you know what I mean? It's in the middle somewhere. And anything that's higher than where you are at the moment can elevate you.
But in the sense of all one, you know, why get tangled up in that sort of like minutia?
Well, you got to do something.
Know thyself.
Mm-hmm. And the doctors heal thyself.
Mm-hmm. Who said know thyself?
This is Bonnie.
To thine own self be true.
Oh, well, yes.
I mean, I think knowing yourself, even just beginning to know yourself, it sounds like a cliche, but it goes far more than being a cliche, okay? Because if you truly know yourself, you know how to make yourself happy. You understand your sexual cycles. You know how to share yourself with other people. And you become more of an effect, no, more of a cause than an effect. When you don't know yourself, you're tossed and turned by all these cycles that everyone else pushes against you, and you keep trying to flow with it, but it creates discordance normally. It doesn't create flow.
I would say that if you really know yourself, it relates back to being in the now. Because when you're in the now, that is your real, you're connected to your real self. And know yourself would be, I mean, you want to know your real self. So to me, being in the now, self-remembering, whatever, is a way of connecting and knowing yourself and being, you know, your real, your true self, higher self, I would say.
Or maybe you could say that knowing yourself means being connected to your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's correct.
I think that's more important than just, you know, knowing what your personality is like or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or stepping aside and being the observer.
Yeah, I think it's far more important than your personality. It's like knowing your cycles, knowing what it takes, like if you're in a certain state, knowing what you need to do to shift from that state so you're in a better state, you know? That is knowing yourself.
And if we're one and part of God, then, you know, that's what you would know from knowing yourself.
Yeah, that's the beginning of being in the now, because you're in the now and you're seeing the patterns around you instead of being immersed in the pattern. Okay, it's now 6:56.